Tell your smartphone to smarten up. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. On demand. Peyton Manning breaks Brett Favre's record for most touchdown passes.
Touchdown, Demaryius Thomas. Move over Brett Favre and make room for the new Kings.
It's taken a lot of hard work. A lot of people have helped you get to this point. You know, football is the ultimate team game. So I'm very humbled and I'm very honored.
You're listening to Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Number 509 last night for Peyton Manning in the NFL Sunday Nighter. He passes Brett Favre for the all-time touchdown passing record. Does this change the way you rank Peyton Manning all-time? It is 703, Brady and Walker. Do you feel differently about Peyton Manning at 510, Greg, as you did, say, at, I don't know, 499.
No, pretty awesome. I mean, how could one game when the guy's played hundreds and three touchdown passes when, as you mentioned, he's got 500. Next nearest guy that's playing currently is Drew Brees, and he has 374. Brady has 372. And then after that, Eli Manning's fourth among active players with touchdown passes with 243. He has 510. He is double his brother. And his way more than double his brother, and his brother's only 4.5 years younger than him. So I think about Peyton Manning the same way. Undeniable top five quarterback all time. If you want to say he's the greatest ever, I think there are four or five guys. You just can't. This isn't like, hey, who's the greatest hockey player ever? Well, I say Gretzky, I say Lemieux. I don't know, Brian Trottier's in the mix. And again, it's no knock on Brian Trottier, but you can't introduce outliers to the equation. You can have Manning, you can have Brady, you can have Montana, you might even be able to have Elway for how amazingly diverse he was, and he's the only one of those four guys that could get away from people.
But you can't have Brett Favre,
you can't have
Jim Kelly, you
Marino
can't have
didn't
Dan
have enough
Marino.
Success. No. Yeah. I'm totally with you that Marino might be the best pure passer, best gun on that arm.
Right, but Michael Vick might have the best legs, right? But
yeah,
it doesn't put him in the category.
No, and there are still guys that need more. Aaron Rodgers, we talk about, what does Aaron Rodgers need to create more of a legacy? I'd say another Super Bowl. Yeah, I would. Ben Roethlisberger's a year older than him and has one. So I don't, you're a huge Peyton Manning guy, and I don't blame you for it. He's pretty awesome. His playoffs, we always get fascinated come January with what Manning's going to do. It was fascinating having the fallout from the loss at home against Baltimore, who maybe that loss even looked better when Baltimore went on and eventually won the Super Bowl, and they won in New England, and they dusted off San Francisco. But even last year was fascinating with him getting there and Seattle handing him his lunch. I think it's always the story of January is how Manning's going to do.
Yeah, and then you wake up today, and there are the Seahawks at 3-3. Now, we're not there yet. But there's going to be a conversation of somebody in the NFC West in danger of missing the playoffs. And there's Denver with the best record in the AFC at 5-1 and just cruising along.
It's now, wouldn't you say it's really unlikely you're going to have three teams out of the West. Arizona couldn't get in last year with their 10-6 record. Both Dallas 6-1, Philly 5-1, Detroit 5-2, Green Bay 5-2. One of those four teams could easily fall off the planet, as Detroit did last year, don't forget, because they were rolling along like at this pace last year and lost the last, five of the last six games. The NFC South is a dumpster fire. It's terrible. Carolina might win it at 8-7-1 when it's all said and done and be the fourth seed. But I agree with you. San Francisco gets drummed by Denver. Seattle, a disappointing loss to St. Louis, and I don't know what the best record or the worst record Seattle can have is, but they're risking now having to go on the road. And that's a lot more different proposition if they want to repeat as Super Bowl champs. It's just so hard to do. It's hard to win that many playoff games in a row year to year.
706, Brady and Walker. So let's segue into this then. You look around the NFL and even the winners yesterday. Who right now is a bit of a fraud in your mind?
Well, are we even thinking? Let me bring up one team, and then I'll bring up the one a little closer geographically. Are we even thinking Cincinnati is what we'd call a Super Bowl contender? Because I saw a lot of people yesterday, hey, they were 3-0, one of the best teams in football. Oh, really? They barely beat Baltimore, and they beat Atlanta and Tennessee at home. Whoop-de-doo. But no one's thinking the Bengals are a Super Bowl contender this morning, and they shouldn't, right? They've lost two and tied one in their last three.
Well, I think right now the Dallas Cowboys are the best team in football, and I'm not a Dallas Cowboys apologist. I admit I am a bit of a Cincinnati Bengals apologist at times. I think we underrate guys like Andy Dalton and things like that. So take this with a grain of salt. I don't think you can fully judge. And yesterday was just one of the most dreadful performances you will ever see from any team.
Really, I know.
I don't think you can fully judge Cincinnati without their best player. As A.J. Green goes, that entire offense goes. And yeah, a week ago, Mohamed Sanu was making 10 catches. This week, he fell right off the planet, and then there was just nothing that Cincy could do.
Well, Detroit's winning games without Calvin Johnson. How unlikely is that? Detroit was losing games, now they're barely winning games, but they're winning games nonetheless. They're not absolutely positively not showing up. And what I'd say about this is A.J. Green doesn't play defense, and Cincinnati's defense isn't stopping anybody the last 3 weeks, right? Carolina.
Yesterday was tough because Indy had the ball the whole game. Cincy's defense was on the field all game long. It still only gave up 27.
But without A.J. Green, you need a three and out. Now, I will say this about Buffalo. I know it's, you know, we're close by and we got friends in Buffalo and we'd all like to see that work out well.
You're hard on the Bills. What's next for you?
Puppies. puppies and young kids. I know. We should empathize with the Bills. They've got this great new beginning, right, with the Pegula family. I watched people yesterday after they beat maybe the 37th best team in the NFL, and I'm worried there's only 32 teams last time I checked, and they did it with an amazing pass and an amazing catch with 1 second left.
Move to 4-3, not 1-6.
I know, but are we going, hey, Bills playoff contender, 17-16 win, hey, Bills are an absolute embarrassment. They lost to the Vikings 16-10 at home. One play changes our mind about the Buffalo Bills. And what I'd grant you, Andrew, is the AFC is stinky. The AFC is not good. We went through this last year when San Diego sneaked in. We went through it a couple years before when the Bengals were the sixth seed and kind of stinky themselves. I don't think Buffalo is making the playoffs. You can give me Houston. You can give me the winner of tonight against Houston or Pittsburgh. Cincinnati, I'm just ripping them, and they got more talent than the Bills. And this Spiller injury and Jackson injury is not going to help them. They got easy games. Now they go to the Jets next week. They got the Jets twice, Miami once. I think they play Jacksonville. They got easy games in the next five. But you know what? They better win four of them. They better be 8-4 after 12 weeks if I'm thinking they're a playoff team.
It's the opposite conversation of, say, Seattle, because at the end of it all, your record really matters despite how you're playing. And right now, the Bills' record is better than the Seahawks' record.
If I asked you to give me six AFC playoff teams, would you write down Buffalo?
Probably not. But let's not just up and bury the Buffalo Bills after a pretty inspirational win yesterday.
I have to stay consistent with my burials. It was inspirational. Yes, they beat one of the worst teams ever in the 59th, in the 60th minute.
10 right? after 7, Brady and Walker, let's get you what you need to know on your Monday.
This is your Monday Morning Six-Pack. Six things you need to start your day.
Number six, Leafs injury news. Brandon Cozen, who's playing on that fourth line, if you can call it that. They don't see the ice a whole lot. And was killing penalties for the Toronto Maple Leafs. We saw the ugly injury Friday night. He goes into the end boards with Kyle Quincy. He will not need surgery and somehow didn't break his ankle. It's only sprained, Greg. So he'll be out anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks. One wonders now, you know, what that fourth line will look like and if, upon returning, if Cozen has a spot on it.
Well, tomorrow night against the Islanders, Matt Fratton got in the lineup Saturday against the Red Wings in
played
a tight
two
game,
minutes.
Played 2 minutes. So this is, again, a 9-forward team. It's not even a 10-forward team at the end of the day. And when David Booth comes back, where does he squeeze in? Who does he bump down? Because you're not putting David Booth on the fourth line, even for $1 million a year, 1.1 a year. That's not what you brought him in for.
Number five, Toronto FC is going to miss the MLS postseason for the 8th consecutive year. That was said and done over the weekend. Pretty incredible when you think of where we were in the preseason, sitting at Real Sports, and there's Jermaine Defoe and Michael Bradley being unveiled.
A lot of hype. Now, the three previous seasons to this, was there progress? Yes. They won 17 out of 102 league games between 2011 and 2013. No one blames anyone for jumping off the ship. But do they stay on the ship now, especially if they lose Jermaine Defoe? Getting defenders in this league and in soccer periods, not sexy, but they're going to have to be a lot better at keeping the ball out of their own net. And that's what they didn't do this year, even with Defoe and Bradley.
Number four, Rogers Hometown Hockey last night. The Winnipeg Jets, they fall 4-1 to the Calgary Flames. Are the Jets an underrated Connor McDavid candidate? We'll ask Mike Johnson about that coming up at 7:22 this morning. Number three, next up for the Toronto Maple Leafs, the New York Islanders at 2-3-1 after a disappointing weekend. Is this an interesting road test to see, kind of gauge where Toronto is?
Yeah, I'm the Islanders aren't going to run away with the Metropolitan Division. I think we both think Pittsburgh's going to win, and Pittsburgh will have their troubles.
Okay. And that's a good story. They're okay.
Yeah, they're okay. And some impressive wins so far. We'll see where it goes this week. After hosting the Leafs, they go to Boston. They have to host Dallas on Saturday night. So those are three good tests. But it'll kind of be fascinating to see if they get out and can build up enough points that if they go through bad times, they can kind of coast a little bit into the postseason. Everybody's in on them right now.
Number two, as mentioned, Wild Week 7 in the NFL wraps up tonight. You got Houston and Pittsburgh in the Monday Nighter. Give me a quick top three of your NFL power rankings, and are the defending Super Bowl champions even on it?
You'd have to slide them out of the top three.
You have to.
Denver's probably the best team. Then Dallas is very good, and I'm inclined to say I've really underrated Green Bay. Now, I've thought they've been good. I've never once thought Green Bay is going to miss the playoffs this year. But their record, if anything, might be a little deceiving in terms of they might be better than a 5-2 team the way they're playing lately. Look at their losses. Seattle on that opening Thursday. They were going to lose that game 99 times out of 100, and then they just had a bad day against the Lions in Detroit with their offense. Other than that, they've been waxing teams, and they did it again yesterday.
They started 1-2, and that win was a big comeback against the New York Jets, who are very, very lousy since that time. And Aaron Rodgers told everybody, hey, relax. Relax, everyone. It's like Carey Price in Montreal. They've been dynamite.
145 points the last four games. And no one else has done that.
Three more touchdown passes for Aaron Rodgers yesterday. Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, and look out for this Devontae Adams. He comes in, and he's one of Aaron Rodgers' new favorite targets. The number one thing you need to know, Peyton Manning is the best all time. As long as it comes to touchdown passes, he breaks the record set by Brett Favre last night. Throws four in the Sunday Nighter, so give him 5-10, breaking the record of 5-08. We want to send you to the ACC coming up this weekend as Toronto takes on the Boston Bruins. Name us that player. We'll give you your third and final clue coming up at 8:14. Here is clue number two, courtesy of the great Blue Heron Casino. He only played one full non-lockout season with Toronto and scored 35 goals in the process. Great Blue Heron Casino, your third and final clue and chance to win coming up at 8:14.
Mike Johnson next, our NHL and Sports and Insider, brought to you by Sicily Honda. Called it from Winnipeg last night. Another Jets loss. And yes, the Jets swirling that proverbial drain with the Sabres, with the Panthers, with the Hurricanes. Are they that bad? We'll ask Mike coming up in 7 minutes.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Korver. Almost got the puck there by Weidman. Oh, and then Weidman was hammered. Play continues, but scores! Raymond!
You better get organized, Walker. Get organized.
7:23, Brady and Walker. Mike Johnson is going to join us in seconds for Sicily Honda. I have figured it out, though. And I, amazingly enough, I did it during the break.
You put a lot of thought into this.
Yeah. The Winnipeg Jets suck. The Edmonton Oilers suck. You can watch them tonight. They take on Tampa
Bay.
That
girl in the Rogers Game Center live commercial says they're looking really good. So I'm taking her word for it, not yours.
I don't know if that 7-year-old knows a lot about hockey.
But she's like 12. You don't have a good eye for this stuff.
I think the Jets, and Kevin Cheveldayoff would never do this because, you know, it's a trade, but the Jets and the Oilers should make a blockbuster. How about that? That's solve everything. Trade Eberle for Bogosian. How about that deal right there? Yes? You agree? Good.
Well, it doesn't change their tax situations. Put it that way. They're both still playing true. the 49%.
They'll both still be cold.
Hometown hockey was from Selkirk, Manitoba last night. By the way, it'll be from Saskatoon. Not sure what province that's in. Next week, between the Sens and the Blackhawks. Right,
watch your mouth.
On Sunday night, Mike Johnson called it last night, along with Paul Romanuk. He joins us, NHL and Sportsnet Insider, brought to you by Cicely Honda. Thanks for joining us from Winnipeg.
Not a problem, guys. How's everyone doing?
We're real good. The matchup last night, we were just talking about Winnipeg. I mean, I don't even want to say are they underrated in terms of sliding down into the top five. What are you seeing not working? And we've talked about the lack of activity for Sheveldayoff as a GM, Mike. When you look at this team, do they need some kind of a fuel injection of some sort?
They do. Obviously, something's not working for them early on this year. But I think they were going to have issues. They were going to be one of the bottom teams in the West, regardless. Paul Maurice is a very good coach. He'll get the guys to play hard. But any team that's near the bottom that wants to do better is going to need good goaltending. Calgary certainly has gotten it to start the season. Andrei Pavlik has been okay. Wasn't very good last night, and over the last several years, he hasn't been anything. Well, he's been bad. He's been a lower-end starting goalie in the NHL. He's an NHL goalie, but he's not certainly an upper-level starter. So you're not going to get great goaltending. Then you're going to need good, tight team defense, and that has never been the case for Winnipeg. I guess Winnipeg coaching staff charts how many grade A or red zone chances and shots they give up every game. Last year, they were near the bottom of the league. They're slightly better this year, but they're still in the bottom 10. And if you have bad goaltending and you give up lots of good chances against, that's not a good recipe. So they need some changes, both probably personnel-wise, but also personality-wise in how they're going to play.
Mike Johnson, our guest, our NHL and Sportsnet Insider, brought to you by Cicely Honda here on Brady and Walker. So you look around the Canadian teams, and I mean, are you? Can you really be pleased with anybody right now outside of Montreal? I mean, Ottawa and Calgary have had decent starts to the season, but where do we rank those teams?
Well, at this point in the season, I think you're probably, obviously, you're Montreal, you're happy. If you're Ottawa, you're very happy because they've bounced back after a pretty disappointing year last year. Now, I don't know if they're, it's the East, so anything could happen. They have that going for them. And I think if you're Vancouver, they've only played a few games, but they've been pretty good and look different under Willie Desjardins, which that's as much as they could hope for. So those three teams should all be pretty pleased. Other than that, Winnipeg, Edmonton, I guess Calgary's been good, and Toronto have been indifferent. So depending on your expectations, obviously Montreal is the cream of the crop for the Canadian teams in the NHL this year.
What would you do in Carolina regarding Eric Staal? He'd have to want to waive. He'd have to want to move. Again, his brother plays there and is injured for the bulk of this season. You know this, Mike. Guys don't want to leave Raleigh. There's something about it. I've been there and I've seen how much a lot of guys live there after they retire there. There's something about that community. They don't want to leave, whether the team's doing well or not.
That's true. Now, I never got that. Raleigh was one of my least favorite places to play and to visit, so I would certainly want to leave. If I could, and I was the manager, I would do everything in my power to convince Eric Staal to go. That team is going the wrong direction, and this year, you want to be as bad as you can be. So they want Connor McDavid. He can replace Eric Staal starting next season. So if I could convince some team to take him off my hands, his salary the next couple seasons, as well as give me some sort of picks and prospects, young players back, then I would do that. Because they're not going to win with them. They're not going to win the next couple of years with them. The only question mark is, does he want to go, or is he in love with it like you are, with playing in Raleigh? And given the fact that his brother was traded down there so they could play together and sign a 10-year deal so that, you know, ideally Eric Staal would be extended as long as Jordan, that would be the biggest hurdle in making this deal. But if I could, I would do everything I could to try to convince him to go elsewhere.
Mike Johnson, our guest. We get our first look, real close look anyway, at the New York Islanders tomorrow as they take on the Leafs. Real nice start to their season. Do you see a little something there that excites you, or is this, you know, new players and a bit of a placebo effect being early season?
Well, it's exciting because they've not been very good for a really long time. They made the playoffs a couple of years ago, looked like they were going to take a step in the right direction than DK and the Islanders once again, and we're terrible. So I think you can't underestimate what the additions of Letty and Boychuk mean to any team, especially one whose defense was young and had some holes in it like New York. Now everyone's slotted where they should be. Now everyone is not playing too many minutes. They have a couple guys who've won Stanley Cups who are good players who can fit right in. Maybe they have a starting goalie in Yaroslav Halak. He's certainly an upgrade from what they've had there in the last few years. And all these young players are starting to play. Brock Nelson has been really good. Okpozo has been really good. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows how good Tavares is. And if the dynamic duo that the people in Toronto know so well, Trpkovski and Kuhlman, can give them anything remotely close to what they gave Toronto under Ron Wilson, which is some pretty good offensive years, then but all of a sudden have a little bit of depth there. So I like the change they've made. It's all worked out very nicely so far. And it'd be a nice story for them if they could finish their time in New York or in Long Island on a positive, given how great that franchise once was, and head into Brooklyn next year on the upswing.
We're all still hoping for Grabowski. I mean, he didn't play after that John Scott hit. I was worried he would never drive a car again after that John Scott hit, but...
John Scott engulfed him. Oh my. And it was a clean hit, too. I mean, what are you going to say? John Scott, when you got 6'8", 300 pounds running into you, I mean, it's going to hurt.
Yeah, that was a cleaner hit than anything Scott Stevens dished out between 1993 and 2002.
So true.
Mike, thanks for this. Great call last night with Paul. We appreciate the time this morning.
All right, guys, anytime.
Mike Johnson, NHL and Sportsnet analyst, brought to you by Sicily Honda. As we mentioned, hometown hockey of Ottawa and Chicago. Ron McLean will be in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Don't forget, Wednesday, Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey. We've got the World Series on Sportsnet Game 2, which we'll talk a lot more about tomorrow, with Game 1 tomorrow night, live from Kansas City. Toronto and Ottawa on Sportsnet 1 at 7. Washington goes into Edmonton, where the Oilers are looking really good.
no, they're not. The opposite of that.
At 9:30.
7:31, Brady Walker, I want to ask you about the St. Louis Rams and what we saw yesterday. First reminder, though, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, we are giving you a chance to win a hockey trip for two to Montreal from PartyPoker.net and the World Poker Tour, which is coming to Montreal this November. David Casuanto from Richmond Hill, he is our newest qualifier for a chance to win round-trip transport to Montreal, two nights hotel, tickets to see Toronto and Montreal on February the 14th. From PartyPoker.net, we will announce another qualifier tomorrow morning here on Brady and Walker. So get your name in for a chance to win. It's on our contest page at Sportsnet590.ca. The St. Louis Rams upset, if you will, the Seattle Seahawks yesterday, dropping the Seahawks to 3-3. Two gigantic special teams plays, a couple of fakes for the Rams. One, to seal the victory and run out the clock with 2.5 minutes to go. Deep in their own territory, they fake a punt. What do you think of this call from Jeff Fisher?
The special teams, the Rams go to 2-4, and you're going to see a lot of upsets. There were 5 or 6 yesterday. Are you going to see an upset that hinges more on two special teams plays than the fake punt, right? They're 4th and 3. They need the first down. Basically, we all see this coming, right? They'll simply kick it away. They'll turn it over. Russell Wilson takes them down for a winning field goal. It's a two-point game.
It's a two-point game, but this isn't like at midfield where you say, hey, like no. if we miss it, we can still get a stop.
Or you're
no man's land. They're at their own 20.
Yeah, you're not in no man's land. Like there's sometimes a field goal is too long and a punt doesn't do you much good, so you go for it. This was the opposite of that. You throw an incompletion. And the Seahawks have it 1st and 10 at your 18.
That's it.
With 2:18 left. And they'll swallow up the clock and probably kick it with 2 seconds left or less. But the Rams, I mean, it was unbelievable. The punter, Johnny Hecker, who knows how much high school quarterbacking he did, just guns a bullet to Benny Cunningham, 18 yards. Rams are the Seahawks completely and utterly unaware. And it's almost like that'll be dwarfed this morning at the water cooler and the photocopier by this 90-yard unbelievable creative punt return from Stedman Bailey, where the entire Rams team fake like the ball was getting kicked to the near side of the field from the camera.
Where Tavon Austin was, and that's a dangerous guy.
And then he
guy.
Pretends to fall down. He's like wobbling around like he's had too many. And Stedman Bailey catches it over his shoulder like he's Willie Mays. and then runs it back 90 yards with a convoy of only a couple Rams protecting him. That was, and Pete Carroll tried to argue Tavon Austin called for a fair catch. He was screaming and yelling on the field.
Which he didn't.
He didn't.
Yeah, he didn't.
But he was kind of waving, you know, shaking his arms a little bit like, oh, no, I'm losing my balance. It was. They were really two amazing plays. And this is where you give Jeff Fisher credit. I even tweeted before the game, I said, the Rams.
Or John Fossil as well.
John Fossil.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to his dad, Jim, coming up next in about 10 minutes. But it's, the Rams are such, can you think of an NFL team? And maybe it used to be Cleveland. Maybe it did where they're in a division and it's like Steelers, Ravens, Bengals. All been pretty good the last half decade and you feel a bit sorry for the Browns. The Rams are now that team you feel sorry for. The Rams might win the NFC South. The Rams might compete. The Rams might win the AFC North. They might be that good.
I don't know. Okay, I don't know if they're that good. They are scrappy though. They are scrappy and they are clearly the fourth best team in a very good division.
Right. Six games against the Niners, Seahawks and the Cardinals, and you try to make it. You can win seven of the other games, and you're still probably going to finish 8-8.
Hey, I loved the balls yesterday from Jeff Fisher, right? Because that is the by-the-book play there is to punt it, and you take your chances with the percentages. He saw, hey, if we want to pull this upset over the Super Bowl champs at home, we have one play to win it. We're going to do it right now.
All right, coming up at 7:50, I want to explain. I had that moment. Every hockey parent has a cardiac arrest the first time this happens, and it happened to me yesterday. We'll talk about that at 7:50. Jim Fossil next, our NFL insider. Actually, he's coming up at 8:20. We'll do the NFL Blitz next ahead of Jim Fossil, but we'll zip around the league and do all our little quick hits at 7:42.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. Keep it here for more Brady and Walker, only on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
It's going down. I'm yelling timber.
7:43, Brady and Walker on your Monday. Okay, so
I have a warning for viewers and listeners of the NFL.
We know Katy Perry's playing Super Bowl halftime show. Now, what did you just read? Fill me in here.
This is a little bit like when Ron Burgundy steps on the diving board. And it's like, attention, everyone. They've announced Pitbull will play the halftime of the Eagles-Giants Thanksgiving Day game. So this is the late game. I think it's a good bet Kid Rock will play. I think Kid Rock's played the last 9 Lions Thanksgiving games at Ford Field. But it's Pitbull. Now,
that's terrible.
That's him right there. This is with Kesha, if you will, and the S has a dollar sign, so I assumed it was Kesha and not... I get her confused with that, the milkshake brings my boys to the yard.
That's not even remotely
that's
the same
the lyric.
Artist. No.
I'm down with the kids. I really am. But it looks like what Pitbull does is easy. Why do I think that?
Well, it's because he does the same thing every... Maybe lots of artists do. I don't know. That's terrible.
He doesn't have to worry about his hair. He doesn't have any. And he just throws on a white jacket with a black shirt and like a sort of a half tux.
And skinny pants.
And he's surrounded by hot dancers with garter belts and things. And it just looks easy to me. Maybe it looks fun. Maybe that I'm confusing with that. Anyway, there's your warning. Shania Twain once played Cowboys Thanksgiving game halftime.
Yeah, see, now that's a real act. That's a real act.
We are in... From, agreement.
Timmins, Ontario, home of Steve Sullivan.
Isn't Pitbull from Timmins? He looks...
No, he's from Kitchener.
Who does he look like? He looks like somebody, and I can't put my finger on it.
Don't be racist.
No, he does. I'm not. Ryan Favreau's in, our producer.
I believe he's from Owen Sound, actually.
Pitbull's from Owen.
That's right.
That seems
that's
strange.
That's a common mistake.
Him and Harry Lumley. Yeah, that's strange. All right, so every minor hockey parent's probably been through this once. I'll explain this in about 6 minutes, but let's do the NFL Blitz for Week 7. Okay, just talking about Seattle-St. Louis, I'll ask both you guys, big surprise in terms of the result, yes. 2 straight losses for Seattle. We know it's tough to defend a Super Bowl title. The how worried are you question about the Seahawks. Walker, how worried should they be?
This is a tough one because you shouldn't be worried about what you are as a team or how you're playing. I thought they played pretty well yesterday, too. It's a bit of a fluky loss. But if you are a Seahawks fan today, you should be worried about your record because you have a bunch of head-to-heads coming up with Arizona and with San Francisco. And for the first time in like 3 years, your playoff destiny is kind of out of your hands. There's a lot of people that would have said Seattle would have three losses all year and been 13-3. I'll tell you what, they're not rattling off 10 in a row to end the season, Favreau.
Yeah, I think they get 7 of 10, though. Looking at the schedule, is not bad. The problem is they probably won't get home field. And for them, that's so key, right? But
that makes them a good team, not a great team,
right?
When they go on the road.
And it might be their downfall. They traded Harvin, obviously, but don't read anything into that. He was injured all last year, and they were great without him until the playoffs. So that's not an issue, but I still think they've got a lot in the tank, and they'll make the playoffs.
Yeah, and listen, Russell Wilson's had two good road playoff games. He won in Washington the game RG3 got hurt, and he was good enough in Atlanta. Their defense just couldn't hold the lead in that second round game.
All right, Minnesota-Buffalo yesterday, guys. Bills win in the final second. Sammy Watkins the touchdown, but they lose both running backs. They're 4-3 now. There's no C.J. Spiller probably ever again. And Fred Jackson, we will see what that injury is. At 4-3, how many wins do they get?
Well, I think we asked this maybe 3 weeks ago, and Brady and I both said 7. I'm upping it to 1. I say they go 8-8. They got a Raiders game. They got Browns. They got 2 against the Jets, Dolphins, and Chiefs. I think they can get 4 in there. So 4-5 down the stretch.
Yeah, the only toughies, the only ones they would be severe underdogs in, and in Foxborough the last week, and maybe New England's got it all wrapped up, right? Yeah, and they're probably sitting Tom Brady and home against Green Bay. So they've been better than I thought. I think they're going to be just out of the playoffs, but I'd agree with you. I think they're going to win 8 games. Now, they lose to the Jets next Sunday, all bets are off.
Right. San Francisco, Denver.
12 is my answer.
The Sunday night.
On that table.
Peyton Manning becomes the number one touchdown passing quarterback. Best quarterback of all time, we've been talking about it this morning. Walker, who is the best quarterback of all time?
I will tell my kids, 20 years from now, when they say, Daddy, Daddy, are we there yet?
That's when they're going to be born.
And who is the best quarterback of all time? I'll say no
Kerry
one.
Joseph.
No one was better at his position. Darian Durant. No one is better at his position than Peyton Manning was. There's no wrong answer here. It's a debatable point, but I feel it's Peyton.
Brady?
I think another Super Bowl, and I'd put Peyton Manning ahead of Joe Montana. And that's really saying something. But I'm in on Tom Brady. His career is not out of the woods yet. Maybe the days of going to the Super Bowl are, and that'll be unfortunate. But it's a great conversation. I think there's 4 guys, undeniable guys, and that's Elway, Marino, Manning, and Brady.
And Joey Harrington.
He's Brady Quinn was very good on television yesterday. The Colts destroyed the Bengals. Place your bets, Al Cervic style. Which of these two teams goes farther this year, the Colts or the Bengals? Now, you could get really stuck on yesterday and say the answer is obvious, but maybe you'll surprise me.
Well, that's low-hanging fruit. I mean, I'd love to say the Bengals. I'm a bit of a Bengals, an apologist for them. I don't think you can fully judge Cincy until they have a healthy A.J. Green. We haven't seen that since week 3 when, looky, they were 3-0. But Indy's a very good football team, so I'll say Indy.
Yeah, I think they're the better team. They got the easier division. That means they're more likely to get home field in the playoffs, and they're really good at home. I'd be shocked if it wasn't the Colts.
Baltimore at Cincy next week. That'll tell the tale.
All right, Arizona, Oakland. The Cardinals lead the NFC West. They're 5-1, and they now have a 2-game lead or a game and a half on San Francisco. Out of 10, what chances do you give them to win this division?
I think I might be underselling them, but I don't care. 5. 5 out of 10. I like what they've done.
You think it's a coin flip?
But I see those other teams, what they do. San Francisco's only going to get healthier. Seattle's a great team that's going to bounce back. I've seen their schedule. It's really tough, Arizona's schedule. So I think they get maybe what? 4 more wins?
Yeah, I think it's 2 out of 10. I think they're going to lose their next 2 games. Philadelphia.
They did that last year, the year before.
Philadelphia's going to go in and win this week. And Arizona's going to go to Dallas and have a tough time with Dallas on November 2nd.
All right. How about New Orleans and Detroit? This is our last one. More impressive win by Detroit or a more concerning loss by New Orleans?
I hate taking middle ground and say it's a little bit of both. Detroit showed resilience in getting back, but a terrible Drew Brees turnover. There have been a lot more bad Drew Brees turnovers in the last 2 or 3 years than people want to remember. You got to protect a lead better than that. And the Saints had every opportunity to salt that game away. They're not a very good football team. Sean Payton losing his cool after the game. a Saints 6-10, 7-9 season is not out of the question.
Yeah, it's definitely more concerning for the New Orleans Saints. Now, Detroit could have lost this game. There's no Megatron, and no one's panicking in Detroit. Green Bay's looking really good at 5-2, and maybe Detroit's a wild card team. But, yeah, for the Saints, you're up by two touchdowns with 3 minutes to go. Just don't turn the ball over and you win and you lose. That's an awful loss to fall to 2-4.
And they've had decades with Breeze. Maybe 5-6 years with Breeze. A half decade where they've closed those kind of games out.
So, 751, Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So you, as a relatively new hockey dad, went through something this weekend.
Yeah, yesterday, they're in their third week. It's my kid's first year of playing. He's 8 and he took his time playing.
AAA.
It's house league. It's a 6-team house league, but he's in goal for the first game ever. And he played a good team, let in 3, maybe of the first 4 shots. One, a goal mouth scramble. And the other 2 were breakaways. You get a lot of breakaways, at that age. It's breakaway city. So you're imagining his parents going, the kid the week before, we won a 7-6 game. And this tells you it's a little bit like, your goalie, we're like, does it look really good if it's an absolute blowout? Or do we score enough goals and everyone says, well, if only Noel had made a save or two. Now, it's house league, but he settled it down after that. They lost 5-3, but I'm telling you, your kid gives up. Now I know how April Reimer feels, so to speak, because you're watching this and my heart's never pumped that hard at a pro sporting event, thinking my kid's going to be in net and this is going to end like 12-1. They're 8-year-olds. It's house league. But they were playing a very good team. The stress of it's unbelievable, Walker. You got to experience it someday. Fabro will in 6 years.
I don't want my kid to play goal.
A lot of parents don't. Did you ever consider playing goal?
Never.
You
played, I've never put on the pads. I've never had any desire to. Yeah.
I was saying this. My nephew, he plays rep in Guelph and in net. And you know they were up 3-0. They lost 4-3, and everybody kind of, you know, there's a bad goal in there, right? But. I said, I'm never going to let my kid play net. But then my brother-in-law says, well, you know what? The good thing about having goalies, like, you're less prone to injury. Like, you know, kids go in the corner when they're young and guys get hit from behind and stuff like that. So that's kind of the upside of putting your kid in net. And I didn't really think about that. It might be safer.
Well, it is and it isn't, because kids come in on a breakaway so fast at that age. And Walker, you saw me at the media game. I can't stop. And like, I stop like an 8-year-old. So this 8-year-old piles right into Nolan. He kept the puck out of the net, but he slid right into him and could have taken the puck in the net. We would have needed a video replay. We would have had to go to Toronto, and Mike Murphy would have had to decide whether it was
a goal
or not.
You want safety? Go take your kids to swimming lessons. Forget the...
There'll be some hits. Plus, I saw a kid. He went down to try and make a save, and a kid hit the crossbar. I never played with an 8-year-old that could raise the puck to the crossbar. That was incredible to
me. They all can do it now. It's the composite sticks. We all had Sherwoods back then. You could barely lift them off the ground.
But I would say I couldn't sit with the rest of the parents. My wife and I did not sit with the rest of the parents because I'm thinking, I don't want to hear one whisper. If this gets really out of hand... I turned into Billy Bean during Oakland A's games in Moneyball. I was like doing pull-ups and, you know, working on my delts during the game. Very, very stressful occasion.
So, what do you think? First-round draft pick, is he going to slip to the second in 10 years?
It's I think he might want to keep drawing more and become an artist.
As long as the Red Wings take him, right?
Oh, that's true. Although, you don't want to be in that system. They'll hold you down in Grand Rapids for 4 or 5 years. It's tough. 754, Brady and Walker. We're back in the Leafs at 8:02. Are you concerned with how this team plays at the ACC? We'll ask that question when we come back.